This is MC Fontaine on day 6 of Audiomo. So today is June the 6th, and you'll have seen, if you've looked at or listened to my Audiomo for June the 5th, that I mentioned the people who were the spearhead for D-Day. So years ago, when I first left school and started work, my boss at the time had been on holiday for a week, and he'd been to France, and the caretaker always used to come through and have a chat with him and say hello and everything. And so Bill, the caretaker, came in and said to my boss, Dick, oh, you've been away? Yeah, I was in France last week. Oh, right. Oh, where were you in France then? Oh, I was in Normandy. Lovely part of the world. Lovely part of the world. All right, you've been to Normandy then, Bill? Yeah, I've been going there for years. Been going there for donkey's years. I bet it's changed a lot since you've been going there, hasn't it, Bill? Oh, yeah, I should say so. So, when did you first go there? Quite a while ago. Well, what, 10 years ago? No, before that. And Dick, my boss, and me as well, and the other guys in the office couldn't understand sort of why, you know, so reticent in saying anything. And then finally said, well, the first time I was there was just after midnight on June the 6th, 1944. And that's when we discovered that Bill, the caretaker, was actually Private Billy Gray of the Oxen Bucks, and he was on the first glider. He was on Major Howard's glider, and that's the glider that landed the closest to the bridge. And you'll see from the picture on this audio boo just how close it was. I think it's something like 50 yards. It was such a perfect landing that the glider pilot landed the glider over the barbed wire that surrounded the edge of the bridge. So they didn't even have to get through that, and they captured it within minutes. And as I got to know Bill over the years, he, you know, he talked about it, and he lent me books and things, and, you know, he was always happy to talk about it. But like I find with a lot of the veterans that, you know, I meet from Bletchley Park and meet my stepdad, you know, when he was alive, they'll talk about the funnier side of things, and you know, they don't want to talk about the horrors, you know, and that's understandable. I did ask Billy what it was like, you know, landing on D-Day, because he was 18 years old, because he lied about his age to get in the army. He joined the airborne because you got jump pay, so that was a bit extra money. And I'm sure he said that he was a Bren gunner, because the Bren gunners got extra pay. I'm not 100% sure on that. So on D-Day, when they crash land, they all basically all got sort of knocked out for a few seconds, and Billy came to with Major Howard, who was the leader of D Company Oxen Bucks, banging his Sten gun on Billy's helmet to wake him up and saying, gun out. Because basically, as you're coming out of that glider, you've just landed in occupied Europe, you want your biggest gun to go out the door first. And that was Billy as a Bren gunner. They attacked the bridge and they captured both ends of the bridge. What Billy then said to me was, he ran to the end of the road, and there was a junction or a crossroads, and he looked down this other road and he thought, can I see someone coming down that road? He said, I walked a little bit further and I looked up and I could see this German coming towards me. So I literally just turned tail and just firing my Bren gun behind me, ran. I'd just landed, I wasn't going to get killed straight away. He said, I ran into a barn, because they'd given us the old pep up pills, which was obviously Ben's dream, to keep them awake, so and on top of amphetamine. And he said, oh, I was absolutely bursting for a pee. So he went for a pee. The really nice part of this story is that years later, he was at a joint World War II paratrooper reunion. And it was a really weird one, because they didn't just have British and Americans, they also had German Fallschirmjäger there. And a German chap came over to him, and he saw Billy's Pegasus patch, and he said, ah, you were at Pegasus Bridge then on D-Day? And Billy said, yeah, I was. Yeah, so was I. Billy said, ah, right, okay. Well, there were no German paratroopers at Pegasus Bridge on D-Day. There were three of us. So these three German paratroopers had been in Caen for the night, I believe at a house of ill repute, Billy said. And they were driving back to wherever they were barracked, and they suddenly heard small arms fire. So they stopped the car, and only one of the three gets out, grabs a machine pistol and starts running down the road. So he said he got partway down the road, and then he's thinking, is there someone down there? He said, next thing I look, and there's this great big Tommy with a Bren gun, and he's running towards me, firing at me. So I turned around, and I just started running back to the car, firing my machine pistol behind me. And they both just looked at each other and realised that it was the two of them. They stayed absolute firm friends till, I think it was 10 years or so, till the German chap died. Used to visit each other regularly. So, out of an awful situation, years later, a friendship and a bond could grow. Because they were both just young men who didn't want to be there. And Billy, again, like I said with Captain Jerry Roberts the other day, just really, a really, really modest man. Absolute gentleman. Unfortunately, he died back in 2012. But he'd had a very long and full life. He was a London fireman after the war. And just brilliant storyteller. Told me some great stories. So, on June the 6th, just think of those 156,000 that I think we owe an enormous debt to. The freedoms that we have now and the way we live our lives are due to those people, basically. So if you see a veteran over the weekend, and personally I'd say if ever you see a veteran, just walk up to them, ask if you can shake them by the hand, and just thank them for their service. It's a really small thing to do, but it really means a lot to them. And that way they know we haven't forgotten what they did for us. I should sign off with the call sign that the Oxen Books had to keep sending out on the radio, so the Allied Command knew that they'd captured both the bridges, which was Ham and Jam, 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 Ham and Jam.